if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 316. This is our 2024 Genesis Scottish Open and ISCO Championship Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA / DP World Tour action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our world-famous Golf Betting System website where we have in-depth betting previews for both events. We've got strokes gained rankings for both, very handy. Form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models for both the Scottish and the ISCO. When I say ISCO, it's the old Barbasol Championship. All of that content is available across both events completely free of charge with no paywall. On X, Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast. So we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Great Event Breakdowns, 5 stars is the title of this one. As a fellow gambler, I love giving props where they are due, and this weekly podcast is as informative as it is entertaining. The course breakdowns especially are top notch, exclamation mark. Keep up the great work, boys, and that is from Titanic Gambler, who is in North Carolina, United States of America. I know you can actually follow Titanic as well on X. So thanks for that, Titanic.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Titanic. I'm glad you find the content useful.
Yeah, and not the picks, though. We're doing some good stuff at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. We like banging the crossbar.
The next episode in the Tale of Woe. That is the John Deere Classic. Barry, do you want to talk the listeners through this one?
I get bored. We don't need to do post-mortem, do we? I didn't get to see any of Saturday or Sunday. I just got to watch the leaderboard. And there was nice hope going into Sunday. And then after a few holes when I first checked it, there was no hope at all. So I let it slide. Got home, checked the leaderboard again, and saw that Rye was in the process of bogeying 18 to happily skip a clean place and get chopped to infinity. So it was nice to be on the Bamford train of pain.
Well, at least he didn't finish second.
This is true. Well, second would have been better. I would have got more money.
I found it a refreshing change not to get a second this way.
Okay.
I had 2 in the final group and both ended up chopped on each way terms. I mean, that's just mad. Eric Cole and Aaron Rye.
How long ago was it that you were backing Davis Thompson?
The week before. He finished second.
Such a cruel game.
Yeah.
Thankfully, though, Ben Griffin got his hands out of his pockets after a very slow Thursday and Friday. And actually got a full each-way place for me. He didn't actually finish second either, which was quite refreshing. I think he finished 3rd or 4th. Was it? I don't remember.
Might be 5th in the end, yeah. But
was he 5th? Oh, yeah. He tied T5. He shot 9 under. He was sniffing a 59, wasn't he? And then he bogeyed 17, just to take that out of the equation. He got me a full each way at, I think it was 55 or 60 to 1. But for all of you Davis Thompson backers, congratulations. The model backers had an absolute triumph last week. Davis Thompson. Mm. Can't say he hasn't been trending.
No, big future ahead of him as well. It's one of those players that you kind of waiting to see breakthrough, and then you know, where does he go from here? Expect something big. So, yeah, well done if you backed him. Yeah, it's got to be frustrating because you were running the previous week as well. But yeah, Griffin.
It's only frustrating when people mention it.
That's part of the conversation, Steve, isn't it?
True.
But yeah, Griffin played really well. I guess getting to the point that he did on 17, the drive was pretty inevitable, really. But yeah, he was never catching Davis Thompson up anyway. So from your perspective, it's pretty immaterial that he ended up bogeying that. So, but yeah, right. I don't know. We've kind of seen it on the DP World Tour, and statistically, he's always one of these players that sticks out so heavily because of his game. And you mentioned his putting last week was...
Yeah.
It was his first for strokes game putting, I think you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is a... That's a collection. That's a collector's item, that is, isn't it? He was 41st for tee to green and first for putting, gaining, listen to this, over 2 strokes per round on the greens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They'd mentioned on the commentary the week before that he is working with a new putting coach. So, you know, to see those kind of numbers, whether that's, you know, a physical manifestation of what the work they're doing, or there's a kind of a mental bounce with that as well. So I think you're doing something new, something's working, and the positivity that comes with that. But, you know, Aaron Wright, at the point at which he does marry that up with his normally dependable long game, then, I don't know. It's easy to say that he'll go and win because that's what you'd expect, but it doesn't quite work like that, does it, this game?
The question that's going around Barry and my minds right now is, do you stay on him for the Scottish Open on a course where he's won in the past?
Mm. Yeah.
So we
price this week, 100%.
I think so. Another thing from that John Deere Classic leaderboard, Luke Clanton, second. Michael Teal Bjornsson, second. We've had Neil Shipley recently that's ripping it up, coming straight over from being an amateur. This is a year where Nick Dunlap won as an amateur on the PGA Tour. The conveyor belt of young talent, and clearly Davis Thompson you could throw in there as well, the conveyor belt of young talent that just keeps being generated across the world of golf at the moment is pretty phenomenal stuff. You know, people disappear off to live and you just get a whole new wave of fresh talent coming in. I'm not saying that that Davis Thompson has replaced Bryson DeChambeau, but hope springs eternal. There's always fresh talent coming through that are clearly in a couple of years' time going to be big names like Ludvig Åberg, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. It's good to see, I think.
Mm. Oh, this Clanton looks the real deal, doesn't he? Mm. First player for a long, long time, I forget the quote, to record 2 top tens in succession as an amateur on the PGA Tour. And, you know, has been installed right at the very top of the market for this week.
Yeah, you said to me yesterday, when was the last time you saw an amateur as favourite on a PGA Tour betting board?
There you go.
I don't think we've ever seen it, have we? We've been doing this 15 years.
Oh, no, I don't think I've ever seen it personally. But, yeah, you'd have to go back an awful long time, I think.
Yeah. Germany, take us through that, Paul. BMW.
Well, fairly uneventful in the end, wasn't it? For a DP World Tour that normally throws us all sorts of Sunday curveballs, it didn't really happen with Ewan Ferguson simply converting his 54-hole lead. That's a true rarity on the DP World Tour. But I had looked at Ferguson because there'd been the odd spark recently, but nothing really significant enough to let me take a chance on him last week. Generally around about 33s. I think there was a bit of early 40-1, so he wasn't a bargain really either, but there you go. Joe Dean was the big disappointment, really. 100-1 I backed him at, and he was ninth going into Sunday. So a decent round Sunday, and extremely unlikely he'd have got even close to Ferguson, but could have returned a nice each way place for us. But shot 79, which doesn't work on a Sunday, I'm afraid. I'm not quite given up on Joe Dean yet. I think there's an awful lot about him, and an awful lot to come over the next few weeks and months and years. But not quite the finished article, it would seem, just yet.
He probably just found one of the local beer houses on Saturday night, and you know, when you just go for one and it turns into like four or five.
Yeah,
they're the big glasses. You're like, you wake up Sunday, you're like, oh, I don't feel so good.
Get a couple of steins on and away you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be the one, Barry. Could be the reason. But yeah, I'll get, you know, I've not given up on him yet. We'll see where we can slot him in a little bit further down the line.
We're talking about young talent on the PGA Tour. Clearly, players of the ilk of a Joe Dean. Very young, very raw. He's shown plenty so far this year on tour, hasn't he? And then, of course, the likes of Ewan Ferguson, he's clearly a little bit further along that development curve, but still very young, very talented. You know, there's talent both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, Joe Dean's a little bit older than you'd think, given the way his career's gone. But yeah, in terms of experience on the tour, he's gathering that day by day and week by week. So, part of the learning curve, and one poor Sunday doesn't make a poor player. So we'll see.
I know people are floating around Tom McKipping to win this week.
Mm. Yep.
Another very young 21-year-old who is clearly making waves this side of the Atlantic. Right, should we crack on then, chaps? A very, very big event. I did hear yesterday that apparently this could be the sixth highest grossing world rankings event of the whole year, with the quality of the field, the size of the field compared to the signature events, la, 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 la.
Yeah, makes a level of sense, doesn't it, with so many of the world's top 50 in attendance.
Take it away, Paul.
Mm. Yeah, it's Genesis Scottish Open, which... yeah, as you say, it's a co-sanctioned full field event. So you've got a full 1-5-6 here. Pretty much split between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour in terms of numbers. And then you've got a few invites. A few Korean Tour players get a start at this event as well each year to make up the numbers. But yeah, overall, I counted you've got six of the world's top 10 and 33 of the world's top 50 here. So, you know, you take the live guys out and the odd omission. So there's no Scottie Scheffler at the very top. But aside from that, you've got an awful lot of the world's best players here, which should make for a true spectacle up in Scotland this week, I think. In terms of the betting, Rory McIlroy is the favourite. A returning Rory after his few weeks away following the US Open. 15-2 best price Rory McIlroy. 17-2 Xander Schauffele. So those two guys clear at the top. Colin Morikawa 14-1. Ludwig Åberg at 16-1. And then you've got the likes of Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood 22s, Tom Kim 28s. Minwoo Lee 30, Matt Fitzpatrick, Hideki around the 33, 35-1 mark, 40-1 bar those players. So plenty of top level players are going to go off 40-1 or longer this week. So an event where you can certainly dig out some value if you can plump with someone a little bit further down potentially. Lots of each way options this week as well. William Hill and Boyles, both of them gone eight places each way as standard this week. Of course, you've got Bet365 and Betfred, who both have eight place options available or longer each way options available as well. Ladbrokes are 10 places, a fifth of the odds are standard. Coral are 12 places, but one the sixth of the odds as standard. So an awful lot of different ways to play this week. So do make sure you shop about and get the best combination of price and each way terms for your bets this week. We're going back to the Renaissance Club. This is the sixth year that will be heading to North Berwick up in Scotland. So if you're flicking through the stats this week, the stats or the combi pages on the website, 2019 onwards are the pertinent years for you to be looking at. It's a modern Lynx, opened in 2008. Sits on that same stretch of land where you've got the likes of Muirfield and Archerfield Lynx. So you've got some genuine historic Lynx courses up there. And then you've got Renaissance, which has been manufactured in the middle of them to look and feel and play just like a Lynx. But of course, to the purists, it won't be a Lynx course. It'll be a modern imitation of one. But yeah, for all intents and purposes, it looks, feels and plays pretty much like a Lynx course. Typical Lynx features, deep bunkering, gorse, thick rough. You've got a few of the newer holes that flank the seashore as well, so it does look and feel like a Lynx. 7,237 yard par 70, so not overly long. Three par 5s and 5 par 3s, which make up the par 70 for this week. And you've got fescue-based greens as well. So think Castle Stewart, which was one of the predecessors to this event and the Scottish Open, had fescue-based greens as well. Royal Birkdale, which was the 2017 Open Championship also. And, of course, we've got the last 5 years' worth of analysis you can do on the Renaissance results to see who putts best on this kind of surface. For me, this is the kind of course that needs some protection from the weather. Over the last couple of years, we have had some protection. So the scoring has been a little bit tougher. This year, I mean, if the forecast sticks, you never can be quite sure, particularly in Scotland this time of year. But looking at the forecast today, Tuesday, I'm expecting pretty heavy rain throughout the day. It'd be nasty. If they were playing today, it would be nasty because the winds are up at 25, 30 miles an hour. Heavy rain, it would be a bit of a brutal day. After that, it's going to settle down a little bit. It's going to be a bit dull, a bit drizzly for the first couple of days and then brighten up a little bit over the weekend. But I think crucially for this, on what will be a soft course then, I'm not seeing any more than 10 miles an hour in terms of the wind speeds for the 4 days. I can't see anything more than that. So, you know, even if it is a little bit drizzly, a little bit wet, these top level players going to what should be a soft course in pretty benign conditions should make this really quite scorable, I think. Put into context how the scoring can change here. From the five winners, going back to 2019, Bernd Wiesberger won at 22 under par. Mm. He was 40 to 1. So 22's there. Aaron Rye won the following year, 2020. That was tougher conditions. I remember that. It was played in the autumn, 50 to 1 for Aaron Rye, 11 under, and that was it was cold, it was drizzly, it was rainy. It was pretty uncomfortable for the players. 2021 was Minwoo Lee at 18 under. Minwoo was a 200 to 1 shot that week. Then 2022, Xander Schauffele, 7 under par, 20 to 1. And then last year, 2023, Rory McIlroy, 15 under, 8 to 1. Him and Robert McIntyre, who finished a shot short of Rory's total, they were clear of the rest of the field. The next best was 10 under. So last year was no picnic either, even though the guys at the very top managed to separate themselves a little bit from the rest of the field. So, you know, there's been a real mix of conditions and, you know, you kind of expect that when you look at the mix of scoring here. But when it's calm, when it's soft, there's birdies to be made here. Bernd Wiesberger, again, he made 30 birdies on the way to winning this title back in 2019. Now, we've seen plenty of Bernd over the years and Bernd isn't particularly that kind of, you know, birdie machine, holding every putt. That's not particularly his game. He hits a lot of greens in regulation. Actually, he hit 81.9% of greens regulation that week, and it was only 23rd in the field. So kind of shows you that when it's benign here, when it's soft, players are going to find an awful lot of greens, you know, surfaces in the regulation number, and it's then going to come down to who putts the best. In the tougher years, 70% greens has been a decent haul. That was the kind of number that Xander got to when he won at 7 under. a lot of wind around that year. So for me, looking at the forecast, it could be high teens, could even be low 20s this week that could be the winning total in that kind of bracket. I think if you're knocking on the door of 20 under on Sunday afternoon, I think you're going to be in the mix for a win this week. And you're going to need to score on the par fives as well. I know there's only three of them, but you're going to have to take advantage of those longer holes. If you look through the stats of the players, even in the tougher years, it's been the par fives that have been the most, the holes that have been offering the most scoring opportunities. So you need to play those well. You also need to play well from tee to green. From a strokes gained perspective, and this is the really consistent stat, if you're starting your statistical analysis study for this week, then strokes gained to tee to green would be the starting point. Wiesberger, third for strokes gained tee to green. Rice, second. Minwoo, fourth. Xander, first. Rory, first for strokes gained tee to green. One of the most consistent strings of stats that I've seen on the DP World Tour in recent times. So par fives, strokes gained tee to green. Hot form isn't a bad thing either. Wiesberger and Rye both finished second on their previous start. Xander had won the Travelers on his previous start. Rory last year came in off the back of five top tens, second at the US Open, excuse me, and his penultimate start as well. So some hot form coming in. Doesn't particularly bode well for picking longer price players to get over the line at the very top, but certainly if you've got a player who's seemingly playing well, then that's not a bad start. The other point, the only other stat that I can really pluck out of this, 12 of the past 13 Scottish Open winners had recorded at least one top 30 finish in this event prior to winning. And you have to go all the way back to 1997, Tom Lehman, to find a debutant who'd won the Scottish Open. So some experience, a previous performance of some description around the Scottish Open venues. Recent top two, not a bad starting point either. And then strokes gained tee to green.
That's what, you know, you sit there and you think, oh, Scottish Open. That's what jumps in my mind. Recent winners have literally had electric immediate form.
Mm.
You had last year, McIlroy had finished second at the US Open, seventh at the Travelers, won this.
Mm-hmm.
Year before that, Xander had just won at the Travelers, won this. I can't remember Minwoo Lee.
He's the outlier, really, which is why you got 200 to 1 on him.
Yeah.
I think the other two guys had finished second.
And Aaron Rye had finished second in Ireland and then won this the week after. So
yeah, I think Wiesberger had done the same. I think Wiesberger was second at the Irish as well. So
yeah.
In the years when it used to be played in that sequence. So yeah, some hot form doesn't seem to hurt, does it, really?
No.
You know, and you look through the stats of the players and how they've finished over the last few weeks, and yeah, you're going to be able to make a case for plenty of players on the back of that. But even so, if you're looking for a way to chop the list down to something more manageable, it's not a bad starting point, I don't think. I've backed five this week. I've got two relatively short prices. Then I'll bring you guys in and see who you've got under 100 to 1. And then I've got three that are 100 to 1 or more after that. So my two shortest prices. Well, I guess if you look through the market, the last two Scottish Open winners, Rory, Xander, they're 1-2 in the betting. You know, you're going to be able to make a case for either of them. If you've got a strong volition for one or the other, then you're going to find a way to be able to justify it. You know, Rory, yeah, he's been out of action for a few weeks, but second on his last start at the US Open. Xander won the PGA Championship a few starts back, and he's not exactly fallen off a cliff since. The thing with me, Xander now as a major champion, I expect his expectation has probably gone up as to what he should be competing for. Rory, I suspect he's come back in for this week just as a rust removing exercise, and then next week he'll go and give it full beans to try and win the Open Championship. Yeah, either of them could win, and if either of them wins, it wouldn't shock you or me or anyone who observes golf, but at the prices, I can leave them alone. The one I've backed is the guy who won 3 years ago, which is Minwoo Lee, who we've mentioned a few times. 33-1 yesterday. There's still some 30-1 about right now. He has been quite popular, and I think for justified reasons as well. If you look at his record, he's won three times on the DP World Tour, all of them 18-20 under par, which I think is absolutely spot on for this. Most recently was at the Royal Queensland Golf Club back in November on home soil. And he won here, of course, and then the first win was at 13th Beach at the Vic Open. So all of the courses have got a bit of a hint of kind of exposed linksy golf about them in some capacity. Second at the Cognizant Classic back in March on the PGA Tour. Not much since. It was kind of treading water. A lot of top, 20, 25th, 30th kind of finishes, even at the major championships. Just couldn't get his irons going. He talked about that after the PGA Championship, about how he was going to have to work on his iron play. Seemed to sort that out last time. Rocket Mortgage Classic, second overall. Third for strokes gained tee to green was the number that really piqued my interest. 11 under par for the par fives that week. I think with this being a PGA Tour event in effect, I think he's going to be massively motivated to go and perform here. He's playing in the Olympics in a few weeks' time, so should be on a crest of a wave, and I think Minwoo can go forward and potentially win this ahead of some of the very big names at the top of the market. A similar price, I've also backed Tom Kim, 28-1 best price that you're getting right now. I guess if you use these the combination stats, then he's one of the more obvious eye catchers statistically. Third here a couple of years ago. That's when he really announced himself to the golfing public, to the wider audience, when he finished third here a couple of years ago. Sixth last year, he was second going into Sunday. So a real affinity to this particular golf course. And then he was second at the Travelers a couple of weeks ago, as you well know, Steve, from bitter experience. Led from the get-go that week, and then eventually lost that playoff to Scotty Scheffler, didn't he? After all of the shenanigans on the 72nd hole
I'm looking at my strokes gained tee to green sheet. Tee to green sheet. He was first for strokes gained tee to green at the Travelers.
Yep. Statistically at the Travelers, first for strokes gained tee to green, first for driving accuracy, first for greens in regulation, first for scrambling. I mean, he did absolutely everything right until the point he got into the playoff with Scheffler, and then it was all pally, wasn't it? And eventually yeah. Scheffler just smiles. Tom dunks it in the bunker, and
that's it. Game over.
Yeah, Scotty walks away with his umpteenth title of the season, which. But he's playing some great stuff. Really is playing some good stuff. And of course, there's no Scotty here this week, so it gives him a chance, gives everyone a chance to take a title away. So, missed the cut the week after the Travelers. That's no surprise to me. It has absolutely no bearing on whether I think he'll win or not this week, because that was his ninth week out on tour on the spin.
Should never have played it.
No, he shouldn't have done. No, he needed the rest. He is rested now. Raring to go this week, I'm sure. Back to a place that he absolutely adores. So, Tom Kim, absolute no-brainer for me this week. So, Kim and Minwoo Lee at the top. The rest of mine, I've got another three, but they're all longer prices. So, I'll bring you guys in. Let's go Barry first. What have you got any picks under 100-1 this week, Barry?
Very few, I mean. I'm going to go Aaron Rye again. I just can't ignore it. Got to stick with it. Bought a ticket on the train. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Not much more to say on it than that. The other one I'm backing under 100-1, which is not far under 100-1. It's Thomas Dietrich. Was able to get him boosted to 66-1, 10 places with Ladbrokes.
Yeah, it certainly seems, still without that win, but certainly seems to have taken a step up in loftier company over the last few weeks and months.
Yeah, just showing his face a bit. Kind of had a little stretch of three tournaments there. He went 41st, 14th, 55th, and he felt like that was the time when I backed him back during that stretch, and it felt like that was the time he was going to convert and strike, and something just went a bit wibbly wobbly on him.
Mm.
So he's had a couple of weeks off. Maybe he's, you know, hoping that he's ironed that out, and he's got a second and a tenth here in two of the last 3 years. So I kind of like that combination of showing form and a good bit of course form.
Yep. No, I couldn't put you off, I don't think. His win will come. It's got to come, I think. About you, Steve, got any sub-100s?
Oh, yeah, you know me. I love a sub-100. don't fancy the top two in the market. I think you get the feeling that Rory will have been in some kind of darkened room for a couple of weeks. Xander, we went through this at the Travellers podcast. Don't like first-time major winners and then them winning quickly. That isn't the trend. I think there was an exception in there, which was Cam Smith, potentially. That was a Lib Chicago thing. But, yeah, I can leave Xander. Colin Morikawa, I'm finding very, very frustrating this year. Gets into great positions, doesn't convert. He is on my shortlist, though, for the Open next week. Ludwig seems to be going through... I know, it sounds ridiculous, but Ludwig seems to be going through one of those just slightly offbeat periods. And Victor, we know where Victor's at recently. I can't back Tommy Fleetwood at 18-1. Sorry. That's ridiculous. People will say that Tommy's great outside of the United States, but he's hardly a... He doesn't win at an acceptable rate to be 18-1. I think you'd work out mathematically. That takes me to Tom Kim. Sorry, Paul. I'm on. As we said, number one, strokes gained tee to green at the Travellers. Don't care about the miscut of the Rocket. So, you know, second miscut, that kind of form fits perfectly with a Scottish Open winner. Mm. I believe as well, he's number one on the strokes gained rankings in this field at the Renaissance.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, third and sixth from two starts kind of...
He's going to be near the top, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to screw you over again. I'm on Minwoo Lee as well. Sorry.
This is the week, Steve.
Fourth for strokes gained tee to green at the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit the other week. Mm. I think he was third, but I'm throwing Chan Kim in there, who actually missed the cut, but was actually tied first with Cam Young. But yeah, so top three of those that made the cut. Minwoo Lee for strokes gained tee to green at the Rocket, course winner. And I just think that the thing that really got me with him was you're saying soft golf course, little wind, bit murky. You look at Minwoo Lee and where he's won and what scores he's won at globally, it's all minus 20s, minus 22s. What was that ridiculous one in Macau? He's like minus 30 something.
Yeah, I think it was 30, wasn't it?
He just loves an absolute birdie fest.
Mm.
So I think this is going to fall right into his lap. I really do. I'm wondering whether to also have Barry over as well and go for Aaron Wright.
Go for Phil House.
Mm.
You're making me have FOMO on Tom Kim and Minwoo.
They're so obvious, it's frightening. And if you're not on them, it's really going to hurt, like the week after Davis Thompson.
Yeah.
So maybe it's kind of concrete block on the back of the cranium kind of job this week.
Mm. Yeah. I couldn't put you off at Aaron Rye because, you know, as a course winner, and regardless of what happened on Sunday, and you know, it wasn't an absolute disaster. It just wasn't the kind of round that was going to get him into the mix. Aside from that, he's playing some good golf and putting well. And he's going to need to putt well to accumulate the kind of score that he needs to putt, needs to get to this week, I think.
The only other players that tempt me is Robert McIntyre. I think Robert could have a very good week this week, but clearly it's the issue, you know, Scotland, in Scotland, he's playing great golf, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And do we you know, put in this kind of price point, Barry's gone for Thomas Dietrich. Okay, it's fine. You could also throw Tom Hoge into the mix, who was outstanding at the Travellers. And then you can also look at Tom McKibben, second a winner last time out, I believe, yeah?
Tempted by Tom, yeah.
Was he the winner or did he? Yeah.
McKibben?
Yeah. No. Did he get to the playoff?
Were you thinking?
He got.
Yeah.
So Marcel Siem, he held a 22 footer on 18 for birdie to get into the playoff and then dropped in another birdie. But McKibben got into the open. So it's like they were both very happy.
So he follows
Siem just a little bit more.
He follows that second place narrative again. That
yeah,
absolute immediate form right in the center of the you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I'm toying with those. What have you guys got? Have you got any tempting ones at triple digits I might need to cover off with a penny or two?
Well, I've got three. I don't want to steal your thunder, Barry, if you've got some. So you can go take us through any long shots.
No. Steal away.
Well, the three I've backed Matthew Pavon. He was 110-1 with 8 places yesterday. He has been quite popular in the market. There's still 100-1 available out there in places right now. I expect 80-1 with extended places is probably the best you'll get by the time they start. So if you fancy a bit of Matthew Pavon, then it may be one of the bets you place earlier or sooner rather than later. But there's still this lack of respect for the Frenchman. He won the Farmers Insurance Open back in January. That was after he won the Spanish Open back at the October last year, wasn't it? And since then, third at Pebble Beach, 12th at the Masters on debut, 5th at the US Open. He's competing and contending at elite level, yet he's been priced up as one of these kind of almost also rans each week as well, yep. Which is just...
It's because his strokes gain numbers are all over the place. We've been this. It's all built into these odds now, isn't it? He's spiky. He's either terrible or very, very good. So you get value on his price.
You don't mind that for a 100-1 shot, do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You accept the odd miscut, and when he does come good and wins all places at a decent price, happy days.
You are correct. He's 80-1, 8 places each way across all the operators, apart from right now Bet365, who've got him 90-1 on their each way extra facility.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it'll settle by the looks of it. But it's got some good links form as well. 6th at Dunhill Links last year. 12th here at Renaissance back in 2021. And that was when, he was playing some really poor golf at the time. That was wedged in the middle of 7 missed cuts either side of his 12th place finish here at Renaissance. So something happened. Much, much better form right now. I think he could feature. I think he could top 8. I think he could go even deeper. So Matthew Pavon for me. I've had my obligatory bet on Matthew Southgate at 350-1. I think he does it to me each year. There's no way that I could not back him. I've said everything that I could possibly say about Southgate and his fit to linksy courses and where I think he's eventually going to get himself over the line. It just always seems to tease me the week before one of these events. So he'd done absolutely nothing for months and then finished 4th last week in Munich. 6th for strokes gained approach, 3rd for strokes gained tee to green, 11 under for the par 5s, all the kind of metrics I'm looking for this week. And I'm seeing 350-1 dangled out there. Yeah, 6 places each way rather than any of the extended, but I'm just going to take it just for the sake of it. I don't need much of an excuse to back Southgate when I see those kind of numbers. And when I'm seeing a number like that in front of me, then away you go. I don't need much of an excuse to back Hao Tong Lee either. And I've backed him at 400-1 with the 8 place options out there as well. Now, with Hao Tong, all 3 of his wins, and this is similar to Minwoo Lee, all 3 of his wins have come in the low 20s under par. So that's absolutely his kind of comfort zone in terms of where a winning score should be. He's never the straightest, so an exposed track like this helps. 3rd at Royal Birkdale back in 2017. We talked about the fescue greens there earlier. 5th at the Dunhill Links the following year. I think this could be quite Dunhilly in terms of the scoring this week. 14th here in 2020 is his best effort from 5 starts. Up and down, again, if you want any kind of player who can feature and then can go completely off the ball and miss cut after cut, this is exactly what Hao Tong Lee does. So if he misses the cut, we kind of take it on the chin, 400-1, that was the chance. But he could equally feature. 6 missed cuts on the trot, and then last week he finished 20th in Munich, 8th at halfway, top 15 from Greens and Regulation, and we know he can putt. This boy can absolutely make copious amounts of birdies. He finds the cup with regularity. So if he's finding a few greens, which he was last week, seems to have possibly turned a very small corner in terms of his form, maybe he can sneak into the frame this week. We shall see. But yeah, for me then, Hao Tong Li, Gareth Southgate, Matthew Southgate.
We don't want to be talking about him.
Got football on my mind. Matthew Southgate, Matthew Pavon, Tom Kim, and Minwoo Lee. So any longer prices, Barry? Throw a name at me.
The other ones I'm toying at are not quite three figures. I'm thinking about McKibben, Rasmus Højgaard, Jordan Smith, who we joked about last week that he was dead, is
he
not
actually
finished
putted last
second.
Week. What happened? Actually made some putts.
There you go.
It's like, does he keep that going? Because he has a 36th, a 24th, and a 12th here. So that's another one. Kind of like your Southgate bet, I cannot resist Padraig Harrington.
He won recently as well, didn't he?
Padraig. He did, yeah. So you can get him 500-1, 12 places, 150 odds with Bet365.
Wow.
So I think that's my bet.
You never know. You never know. On a wet links.
Wet links, course not too long, you know, so, and just bring in that, just that experience. Little bit of conditions will help him. Because he always just says that the length of the courses is where he really struggles to keep up with these guys. But this is certainly fine for him.
Yeah, worst bets out there, I think. Worst bets. Any three figures for you? Go on. Sorry, bro.
I was just about to say probably better bets as well, but this is just for fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little sprinkle. Why not? Anything from you, Steve?
I'm going to cover off Tom Hoagie. I'm seeing Tom Hoagie at 70-1 with Bet365 each way extra, 8 places each way. He was 10th here going into the final round last year. His only win in the States, Pebble Beach, if you remember.
Yeah.
Sorry, what we got? I think he's, I'm going to back him 75-1 with each way extra. 75-1. I think that's a good price. And Paul, we've spoken off mic about, I'm covering off triple digit long shots next week at the Open, which is, at most majors, you're literally finding places. But if there's one major where triple digit players win, as we know, Zach Johnson, Brian Harman over recent renewals, it is the Open.
Yeah.
If I don't back Matteo Pavon this week, whilst he's destroying his price for next week, I would be crazy. So as I've got the Bet365 app open, I'm going to take that 90-1 price. There you go, Matteo Pavon.
Yeah. He's got a chance. As you say, yeah, that's the kind of thing that happens. You have your eye on him for the Open and then plays really well.
And don't forget, Barry and I were on him at the Travelers last time. This is how it all works. Barry, I think you need to jump on as well.
I'm doing it right now. Yeah. You've convinced me.
This is how it all works. So Matteo Pavon and Tom Hoagie at bigger prices for me. To be fair, I'm quite excited about the Scottish Open. It's one of those ones where it's like you're a kid in a candy store. There's some half decent prices. Yeah. It's good stuff.
And a lot of stars up there. So, you know, that'd be a real spectacle this week up there in North Berwick.
We might need to travel up there one. The trouble is, of course, that you've got the Open the week after, so it's not very easy to get up there and actually do all the prep work needed for the Open Championship the week after. Should we move to the ISCO Championship?
Let's do it.
I always think, when I read that, I'm always thinking about the old disco song, D-I-S-C-O. But we won't go down that route. The ISCO Championship, which is the old Barbasol. It's an opposite event. I shouldn't say this, but I've actually had a few winners of this over the years on two different courses. They play this one at Keene Trace in Kentucky. Last time we were in Kentucky, Xander won the PGA Championship on the easiest major championship course known to man over recent times. Keene Trace is not a Valhalla. You pulled together some great strokes. Gain stats, I will put them in the podcast preview for both events this week, actually. Although they are telling me that Adrian Sadier, Kevin Streelman and Joseph Bramlett are the three best players at Keene Trace, which isn't filling me with much enthusiasm, it has to be said. But that's the kind of event we're dealing with. What do I think of the golf course? It's a medium course in length. They water the greens copiously because the temperatures get into the upper 90s Fahrenheit. So mid-30s Celsius. It's hot, humid. It's a birdie fest. Effectively. I know that will surprise regulars on the PGA Tour. Winners of this recently, Vincent Norman last year, we were on at 28-1. He won at 22-under. Year before that, Trey Mullinax, 25-under. Year before that, 21-under and 26-under. So you can rip this place apart. So resort level scoring golf course, medium length. It's a par 72 at 7,328 yards. Holes with water in play 6. Bent grass fairways, Kentucky bluegrass with fescue rough, if you can call it rough, and bent grass greens, 6,000 square feet on average. So yeah, we've had Norman Wynn here, Trey Mullinax, Seamus Power. I don't know if we were on that year. I don't know if Barry was on. He was 20-1. And your old mucker, Paul, Donald Trump's best mate, well, apart from Nigel Farage, Jim Herman at 26 under par. One here in 2019. Are you? I take it you're on the Hermanator this week as ever.
No, not at the moment.
What?
I may have to change that, as he says, rapidly scrolling down the odds.
Troy Merritt won here. You know, we've always said soft golf courses, low scoring. Troy Merritt, he won here in 2018. For me, amidst the chaos of who could win this in such a ridiculously poor field, the thing I always grasp onto here is players that are driving the golf ball well. Yeah? There seems to be something in that. Or there has been until this point. The way I will reference this is the last three winners. Now, I do 8-week strokes gained tracking research. And Seamus Power won this in 2021. He arrived after finishing 12th strokes gained off the tee the previous outing. Trey Mullinax won this in 2022. He was 12th across my 8-week ranking for strokes gained off the tee. You'll find no other stats that mean anything apart from that one for Mullinax. And last year, Vincent Norman was in the top 10 for strokes gained off the tee for the last 8 weeks across my tracker. He was 15th at the previous outing, which was the Rocket Mortgage Classic. So you don't necessarily need to be long, because Seamus Power is not exactly a bomber, but he was hitting the ball very, very straight and gaining strokes off the tee arriving in Kentucky. So those were the numbers that I based my selections around this week. And I've gone for 4. I've gone quite deep here, boys. I've gone quite deep. Just because I think there's something you can grab onto here, which I'm interested in. I'm going to go in reverse order on price. Why not? Let's mix it up a little bit. I'm going to go for my biggest price selection first. Don't forget, these odds were literally as the markets were coming out on Monday. So don't throw abuse at me when you're finding some of these players far shorter. I'd managed to get this written and grab some decent value prices. First one on my list, Hayden Buckley. A point each way I got on him at 75-1, eight places each way with our friends at Bet365. Don't forget the bonus code SPORT30. Hayden Buckley, fifth at the Colonial a few months ago. He's the sort of the moment, you look at his form, 52-59-5, missed cut 44-34. But within those outings, there is always a low round. There's always a round at each tournament where he's in the top 10 lowest scorers for the day. Just hasn't pulled it all together. He's 145th in the FedEx Cup, so he needs to start bringing some dollars into the bank account. Sorry, FedEx Cup points. They don't use, dollars is far too, you can't do that these days, just state money. But he needs basically some decent finishes. I think the course will suit him because if there's one thing Hayden Buckley does well, it is drive the golf ball extremely well. So he's fairly long, he's fairly straight. I think he's going to get some decent opportunities on a set of par fives which are really, really easy and pretty much reachable to the longer guys in the field across all 16 looks for each round. So I think Hayden Buckley at 75-1, that was my first selection. He was actually the first selection that I actually wrote up. Wanted to get him on board quickly. A guy that's an absolute beast off the tee. And he kind of, this is going to sound crazy, he's a bit of a poor man's Vincent Norman from last year. He can score low scores. He's got an absolutely fantastic driving game. He's very, very aggressive. So he's in the top 40 for going for the green, 24th for driving distance on tour, 7th for strokes gained off the tee. Now, if you're 7th for strokes gained off the tee on the PGA Tour, you've got to be one hell of a driver. Mm. He's also, and this is a number I absolutely love, first on the PGA Tour for eagles per hole. Handy at a golf course that's got 16 views of reachable par fives. Rico Hoey. I managed to get 60-1, eight places each way with Boyle Sports on Rico Hoey. He was sixth at the Rocket Mortgage a couple of weeks ago, which is his first ever solo top 10 on the PGA Tour. So I love a bit of Rico Hoey. He's Filipino, but basically went to University of Southern California. So, yeah, Rico Hoey for me. Now, I did mention this guy earlier on when I said across my strokes gained tee to green sheet. Now, he was first for strokes gained tee to green, or tied first strokes gained tee to green at the Rocket Mortgage. He missed the cut. You're like, Steve, missed the cut, and he was first for strokes gained tee to green. Well, yeah, you won't be surprised to hear. I think he was like 153 out of 154 for strokes going putting that week.
Yeah.
He actually tied Cam Young for strokes going tee to green at the Rocket Mortgage. And then last week at the John Deere Classic, lo and behold, he was 11th for strokes going tee to green, but actually made some putts. He was positive with the putter. Chan Kim. Now, I managed to get 45-1 with Boyle Sports, eight places each way, on Chan Kim. He was also 45-1 with Betfred at that point. He's been, with CT Pan's withdrawal, a lot of these mid-price guys that the bookmakers fancy have been slashed. So you're not going to get 45-1 on Chan Kim now, but listen to this, chaps. His last three professional tournament wins have come at 32 under par. Yeah, you heard that right. 32 under par at the Casio World Open on the Japan Tour in 2022. Then on the Corn Ferry last year, he won at 20 under par and 28 under par. Those wins came at the Magnet Championship and then the week after the Albertsons Boise Open in Idaho. So his wins in the States, New Jersey and Idaho. So they'll be bent in those greens, definitely, across both of those courses, bent grass. So yeah, I fancy Chan Kim. I know this. He's a player that's been on our radar for years and years and years. He used to pop up at majors and you'd look at his form elsewhere and go, this guy's coming off like three top seven finishes on the Japan Tour. He's just slowly come through the ranks. I reckon this could be the week, you know, that Chan Kim literally goes for his first PGA Tour victory. He's had a couple of top tens already. So it's not as if he hasn't been near the top of leaderboards. But I do like the look of Chan Kim playing some absolutely great stuff from tee to green right now. Just let's hope he doesn't putt like he putted in Detroit a few weeks ago. Final one. I think this guy's a real talent. I know we've got Luke Clanton at the top and we've got Michael Teor Bjornsson as second favourite. I managed to get 20-1 on Teor Bjornsson with Boyle Sports, 8 places each way. And when you look at a lot of these opposite events, and I'm going back in time here, just looking at my sheet, bloody obvious winners. Colin Morikawa, 12-1 favourite at the Barracuda. Victor Hovland, 12-1 favourite at the Puerto Rico Open. We've had Seamus Power, 20-1, won this a few years ago. And then Billy Horschel a few outings ago won at 20-1. That was Puerto Rico. No, I think that was Corrales. So, yeah, I just think this Teal Bjornsson's a very, very talented player. You could side with either him or Clanton. But this guy here, he's a 7-time amateur winner. He clearly got onto the PGA Tour by winning he's the university graduate, number one amateur player this year on the amateur circuit. That's exactly what Ludvig Åberg did last year to get onto the PGA Tour. Now, I'm not saying this guy is going to be as good as Ludvig Åberg, but he's a quality, quality player. And actually, when you look at all of his amateur wins, literally, I went through the whole of his amateur career, he finished minimum top 11 on the outing before he then went and won. So Michael Teal Bjornsson, who was second last week at the John Deere Classic, I'm backing him at 20-1. So I've got Teal Bjornsson, Chan Kim, Rico Hoey, and Hayden Buckley. I will now be quiet and hand over to Paul. Who are you on, Paul, at the ISCO, not Disco, Championship?
Yeah, there's a couple that have caught my eye. Pearson Coody I've backed 80-1. Coody, 3-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour. The most recent one was in July last year. That was at the Price Cutter Charity Championship, 25 under par. So that's a good pointer for the kind of score that he might need to get to, give or take, this week. So he can certainly get there, given that evidence. Seems to be getting to grips with the PGA Tour. Fifth at the Charles Schwab, rather, earlier this year. 13th to halfway at the Canadian Open. 30th last week. Wasn't really eye-catching, but then he closed with a 64. Yeah. 9th for strokes gained putting. So bits to like with Pearson Coody. I think he's one of these players, again, that will be a name that we see quite regularly towards the top of leaderboards as he develops and pushes on with his career. The other one, a bit further down, I've backed Matthias Schwab at 200-1 with 8 places each way. That was with Betfred, that one. Now, Schwab, he's got a couple of top 10s over on the DP World Tour in his last 6 starts. He was 8th at the China Open and 10th in Italy a couple of starts back. Don't forget, this is a guy who played the PGA Tour last year. So he has more experience in the US than a lot of the DP World Tour players who are coming over and playing this week. His best effort last year was 8th at the Corrales, so another alternate event. So I think if there's going to be one where he does step up and kind of finish in that each way paying positions, potentially it's going to be this kind of event and this week. 27th last week in Germany, and that was after a slow start as well. He did improve quite well towards the back end of that tournament. So a couple of little signs of life over the last few weeks. And yeah, 200 to 1. Perhaps he can sneak a top eight finish for us and give us a decent return on that. So then the only two I've backed, I may have to back Jim Herman now that you mentioned his name, simply because if he does something, I'll be rather annoyed. 400 to 1. Yeah. 400 to 1 with extra places out there. So that's potentially the way to go with Jim. But yeah, just that for me so far.
Barry.
Are you Barry?
Come on, Barry. You've been churning this over.
Doing very quick research. Nobody's popping right now.
Are you going to go for Joel Damon on the basis me and you were both on him last week? My problem with Joel Damon is, can you see Joel Damon getting to 24 under par?
Doesn't feel right.
Doesn't, does it?
Like something more challenging, maybe like very low teens, seems to be more in his comfort zone.
Yeah, I agree. But, I think he won the Corrales at 17,
10
something
to
like
13,
that.
14, yeah.
Yeah. Get that. Hayden Springer shot 59 last week.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Never know.
You remember what I said about 59 shooters against Cam Young? Didn't win, did he? I went through all that. Those 59 shooters, they don't win the week after.
No,
or don't even contend in most places. So Cam Young did actually well to contend.
Yeah.
That puts me off 59 shooters.
To do it in the first round kind of... you know, potentially just going to scupper the rest of that tournament because you're still talking about that for the rest of the 3 days.
But I tell you one that did catch my eye. This might tempt Barry. David Michelazzi, the Australian. He's had a two top tens on the DP World Tour on the trot.
Yep. Yeah, 10th, 2nd, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. You can get him 80 to 1. In fact, 100 to 1 with Bet365. So I expect he would be around the 80 to 1 mark on the each way extras on David. I suppose the only thing I'll throw this out there before we close. Is this really as obvious as Luke Clanton just winning by 6 at like 11 to 1 as an amateur?
Given the names of some of those winners that you've just read through, it's possible. And the guy is got something massive about him. That much is evident just from watching the last couple of weeks. And for him to be, as we said, to be priced as the favourite as an amateur after 3 PGA Tour starts tells you everything. It's there's massive expectation.
He is as short as 10 to 1 with Paddy Power as an amateur. That is just madness. But that just shows you the raw talent we're dealing with it.
Yeah. What we just don't know, should he find himself at the top of that leaderboard? And these alternate events, it can be a bit DP World Tour-ish, can't it, with the lead being passed around, like a pass the parcel.
Yeah. Any more, Barry? Or are you as confused as I am, but I just spent a lot longer on it.
I think that's where I'm at. Just don't go too deep because I could end up finding 7 or 8 that I like. I might put a small bet on Harry Hall. Scored well last week, just outside the places. But yeah, I'm gonna have to figure out a way to convince myself to back other people. I'd rather put a couple more punts on outsiders in the Scottish.
Yeah,
I feel like I could have more confidence in them and. Save a couple of chips for next week.
That is your prerogative, my son. Are you with us on Thursday for our Open Championship research podcast, Barry?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. We will reconvene on Thursday for our Open Championship, one of our most listened to pods of the year, along with our Masters content. So stay tuned for that. Listeners, we will be back later this week with our Open Championship research podcast. I hope your bets go well.
Best of luck, guys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to the listeners. We will be back later this week. See you soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf Betting System.